is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Welcome to Loveline. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla on in a minute. Today I've got Gabe Fishbarg in honor of Valentine's Day. He's brought us the guide to picking up girls, something that our callers are infinitely I wouldn't say fascinated, but obsessed with. So you've come to the right place.
Yes, thank you.
So what is it you're going to tell our callers?
Well, this book is based on a lot of research, also my own personal experience, and it's been out, just came out for a little bit.
Gabe, you're an attorney in real life, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You've become author. Lately become an author, right?
Yes.
And it's because you noticed everyone obsessing about this stuff, or that everyone wanted answers to it and no one had any, or?
Yeah, part of it, and I think it was time for a new book to come out about this topic. In other words, it was timely now, and people were talking about it. The movie Swingers came out. There was definitely the movie The Tao of Steve came out. So there was definitely a resurgence in this type of topic.
I notice you've got something here that we always talk about, is this business about the touch, that we call it the linger. If a woman kind of lingers, kind of, you notice that she's kind of near you, hanging by, and if there's a drag, any sort of anything like this, it's game on at that point.
Right. It's usually alcohol related when a girl will touch you like that.
Why is that?
And
not without alcohol, it won't happen.
It's not as common,
not as obvious.
Not as common, yeah. But it's still, yeah, definitely more of the quick touch on the forearm is pretty
all right.
common.
All right, let's take some calls and see if you can help our folks out. This is Matt, who's 21. Matt.
Yes.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, not so much. How's it going?
Good. This is where you talk.
Okay. Pretty much. I'm a 21-year-old male from Wyoming.
Pretty much.
Yeah. To sum it up, I've never had a girlfriend.
Oh. Anything we should know about you? Anything?
Basically, my mom took me out of school when I was in about the 8th grade, and I later found out that it was an onset of bipolar disorder.
For her?
On my part.
So you're bipolar?
Yeah. Right. And I was treated for it for quite a few years.
Were you hospitalized for it?
No, never hospitalized. I also have a cutting disorder. It was like summed up into a whole bunch of different things.
Were you abused or something growing up?
Not that I so much remember, but my dad was kind of verbally abusive.
Okay. You still cut?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I got into trouble with some narcotics earlier this summer, and I'm in not a drug rehab, but a court-ordered counseling.
All right.
And I'm basically at a point in my life, well, where I've never had a relationship, and I'm kind of thinking, it almost seems to me like I'm emotionally numb.
Yeah.
In some respects.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to wonder if, my close friends are, having kids and stuff. They're a couple of years younger than me. I'm, like I said...
Thank God you're not making that mistake at your age.
Not yet.
All right. Look, Matt, let me sort of cut to the chase here. Okay. You know that there are some serious psychiatric problems here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are underway in terms of accessing and participating in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
The numbing is real. It's a great way to describe the sort of condition you're in right now, and it is something you're going to have to kind of work through in order to be available for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've sort of, through talking to women, have noticed is they want somebody who is present. They want somebody available. They want somebody who can be emotional, be attuned. And if you're not, if you're sort of checked out, they're not very interested.
Yeah.
So your job, Matt, is to work on your recovery, get a sponsor, do the steps. I mean, I sound like a broken record with this stuff. But if you can get through that process and stay clean and sober, I have seen many, many people with your sort of history suddenly and magically get a relationship. All of a sudden, you're attractive, you're interesting, you're a person. And so I would definitely stay with the program. Jason, 23.
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
Good.
That's good. Oh, basically, here's the thing. It's like, on Monday, I just lost my girlfriend and all.
Yeah?
It's like, not a death, which is a good thing, but I kind of wish it was.
Not a death?
It wasn't, due to death, but, you know.
I see. What was it due to?
We had a long-distance relationship going on, and we're both in college, and basically I called her up to talk to her on Monday.
Yeah.
She goes, you know what? I need my space. I'll call you up. Call you in, a week when I'm ready.
All right. Call you in a week?
Yeah, that's what she told me. It's
how long have you been going out with her?
A couple of months, but here's the kicker to it. We've been friends for 4 years.
All right. Gabe, what does he do?
Well, where is she located?
She's out west. I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, long-distance relationships are usually the most difficult ones, so...
Oh, yeah.
You have to play it cool. You got to be, you know, a girl's expecting a guy to be tough and strong, and so you can't show any weakness. You have to portray it like you don't really care, and then maybe you'll get her back.
Or not.
Or not.
And,
I mean,
and the reality is long-distance relationships really don't work very often, particularly when you're in college. Did I hear a fire alarm, a smoke detector beeping in the background there? Anybody?
Not for me.
Right.
I mean, the big joke is usually, yeah, they're a serious boyfriend-girlfriend in high school, the last year of high school, and then freshman year in college, suddenly they see all kinds of other opportunities and they break up.
Or somebody sees it.
Right.
The person tries to cling desperately.
Right. So it's an old story. You know, you shouldn't worry about it. It's not you. It's definitely, you know, it's her. And you probably didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, that's why, you know, I definitely talk about it in the book about how to prepare yourself for these types of rejections. And it's not really a rejection. You want to try to move on.
So Jason, right. Jason, yeah, it's over. Really, you're in college. These long-distance relationships really don't last in college. In fact, when they do last, they tend to handicap you. They keep you tied up emotionally, and another whole piece of yourself is unavailable to explore who you are in your new social environment. Get going. This is a four-month relationship. I know you've known each other for years, and I'm sure you're spinning yarns about how this is the most wonderful person, this is the one for you, and there'll never be a... It's nonsense. You'll find somebody else. You will. So.
Yeah, I have one friend who he always tells the joke, you know, when a girl's... You know, being difficult. He's like, oh, yeah, I always blow him off. I blew off this one girl for 3 years, and I'm still waiting for her to call me back.
Speaking of difficult women, this is a Jennifer who's 20. Jennifer? Jennifer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, hi.
Yeah.
Basically, my problem is that I've had a best friend for 4 years now. He's male. And we just started having sex recently. And about 2 years ago, he told me he was in love with me. And that wasn't really what I wanted to hear, but I don't know. Now we're having sex, and I'm just wondering if this is going to ruin the whole thing, or if it's a mistake, or, you know, just should I go with the flow, or are we going to be friends afterwards?
Okay.
Yeah, sex with friends, I mean, it's definitely fun, I think, in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then you got to, you know, realize what's going on and you start to think. So, I don't know, was alcohol involved when you first had sex?
and some painkillers and, you know,
but this guy, listen, look, right, friends with benefit never, ever, 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 ever works. Eventually somebody gets feelings. That's the way the human works. And then the other person, that's not what they had in the cards, and they... hurt the other person. That's always the way it works. This guy's been lying in wait like a lion in the brush, waiting for this moment. Are you kidding? He's been in the reason you're friends is because he was attracted to you this way.
No.
And Jennifer, do not BS yourself.
No.
That is the way guys are. That is it. Is that not true, Gabe?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can tell by the conversations you had with them. In other words, was he always like asking you about what guys you thought were cute or what you liked about certain guys?
No, he's definitely, he's not like that, you know, he's really
Jennifer,
different.
Jennifer, right. No, I'm sorry. Listen, at your age, I'm not going to say that men and women can't be friends, but in, you know, young adulthood, late adolescence, what motivates the friendship, what attracts two people together, somebody is attracted and somebody doesn't respond. And then they get along and they have a friendship, but that person who's originally attracted, if it's a guy, is waiting for his moment, waiting for when you break up with that boyfriend, waiting for your week. Unlike a woman who does not want a guy in a moment of weakness, men prefer women when they're weak and down and out. You understand that?
So are you saying every guy friend I have wants to...
Gabe?
No, not every guy friend. It's a big generalization. I think you have to figure out where the guy's coming from. You got to be careful. In other words, see what he's asking, see what he's interested in, if he's acting jealous or if he's asking, like, you know, more personal questions.
Jennifer, I want to put you... Can you mind being on hold? I want Anna to bring in on this one, too. Would you mind?
No, it's okay.
No, would you hang on?
Yeah, I'll hang on.
All right, hold on a second. Because I think he's going to say, I'm not ready to say this, Gabe's not ready to say this, but I think he's going to say that all your friends, in fact, are waiting for their moment.
No.
Well,
what painkiller did you take?
Vicodin.
Vicodin. Well, it's barely a painkiller. Okay,
Vicodin
and alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid, right?
Yeah, it is, but... I don't know.
But the doctor knows better.
Long story.
Yeah, but good times, huh? All right. Here we go. This is Brandon, 18.
Could you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've been having this problem. It's been lasting since I was, like, 16.
And I'm now 18 now. But it's like, I have no problem getting into relationships with girls and stuff. But it's, my problem seems like after I've never gone over 2 months in a relationship. Because I've always, like, psyched myself out of liking her. I don't know, like, well, I'll pick little dumb reasons.
Yeah. There's a reason. Why are you so afraid of intimacy? Who left you when you were like eight?
Eight? Yeah. I haven't really been with my family. I've been kind of independent for a long time.
Since you're what age?
From like first grade to third grade, I grew up in a military home or a military school. Then okay.
So that'll be like when you're eight, like I said.
Yeah, around
when
that.
When you're eight, you were shipped away. And kids that have these experiences of abandonment very often have real difficulty being intimate. They sabotage the relationships as opposed to being vulnerable in a real relationship. And there you go. Why were you sent away? Was something going on at home, or were you acting out in some way?
No, it was more like just like my dad and my mom, they got divorced and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, my stepmom was kind of came into the picture, and she was 18 at the time too, and she just didn't really want to have to deal with a kid being around.
All right,
so he sent me to a military school.
See, you see how those abandoning experiences set you up to have difficulty being in a relationship? Because your implicit memories of closeness is people leaving you and pain. So you can't let that happen. You have to stay in control of things and not let it get set up that close. So you break it down before you ever get that close. At least then you're in control. At least at least it's happening on your terms.
Is there some way that I could try to, like, stop this or something?
Yeah, you can not do it. Okay.
What do you mean?
You can stay in the relationship and see how that feels. And if you can't do that, that's when people have to go to therapy. It's a very simple equation.
How many girls are you talking about? It sounds like if you have a girl every 2 months, most guys would think that's a good thing.
No, well, it's to me it's kind of, it's not a good thing, because once you start to get to know a girl and you start to like her, like, I want to like girls, and I want to get to know one, get to like them, meet their parents and stuff.
Right.
And because this whole, so it's getting old.
I beg your pardon. Brandon, national radio, F word, S word, doesn't fly. You notice you don't see those words flying around on American radio very much?
So you don't like the variety of sleeping with different girls, you're saying?
Yeah, it gets old. It's like, I don't want that.
He's gay.
Find a girl. What?
Nothing. It's the Anderson.
No, man.
You're gay.
I know you're not. I know.
I want to find a girl that I like. Kind of like. Right.
Well, it sounds like that's a mature thing. Now you've sown your oats and you had a great time, and now you're ready.
You have a small penis, you fag. Oh my God, Anderson, relax.
You're like ready to move on now to be a real man. It sounds. I mean, that's really young. You've decided to be monogamous so young at 18. But
hey, buddies, I'm here today.
Yeah, how you going, buddy?
Good.
I'm not saying I'm monogamous.
Yeah, I understand. You just want to have a relationship, and that's a natural human instinct. And you're unable to do it because of all that. This guy was sent away to Military Academy. He was in first grade, and now he wonders why he sabotages relationships after 2 months.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah. now because I'm going into the army on April 3rd.
All right. Well, you don't want to be in a relationship if you're going off into the army, right?
I kind of do, though.
No,
I'll be watching you.
Why do you want to leave a relationship behind? You're going abroad. You should nail some broads abroad and just have a good time. Be, what is he, 19?
Yeah, 18.
Hey, enjoy yourself. You come back, you settle down. You tell your new wife all sorts of fake stories about how you saved battalions and jumped on grenades and all that kind of stuff.
That'll be the coolest thing. Adam, this is the guide to picking up girls. Gabe Fishbarg's in here.
Hey.
Hey, Gabe.
What's up?
You got a book that does it? It what? I mean, it's not just a bunch of bad. It's not just a bunch of bad pickup lines, right?
No,
actual techniques.
It's his study. It's study and research, and then the techniques based on the theories.
Yes, there's about 40 different chapters on different topics.
He immediately brought up the hand drag and the touch thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to know if somebody likes you before you try something on them, right?
Yeah, no, you want it to be mutual. You don't want to be like a total wolf and attack the girl. It's better off if it is mutual.
It doesn't work.
Well, what are like the five tells when a woman is interested in you? Let's just say you've met a woman at a party.
Yeah.
What are like the five basic things?
I would say the main one is if she starts asking questions about you.
Right.
And starts being interested in what you do, where you're coming from, where you're from. Because a lot of times you'll talk to a girl and you'll waste the whole time, you know, asking about her, and then she's not giving you anything back. Right. So, you know, guys will spend a half hour wasting time. And, you know, if the girl doesn't ask anything about you, not even what your name is, you know, you should definitely move on.
All right, show interest.
Show interest.
What's number two?
Yeah, the body language. If she's
the touch.
The touch. Body, you know,
proximity.
Proximity. If she has her arms crossed and she looks like, you know, she wants you to leave, then maybe you should.
Right.
But a lot of guys think that's like a challenge. Like, oh, she's not interested. Maybe I'll get more drunk and try to get her drunk.
But you're saying once you encounter that, it's time to move on.
Yeah, definitely move on, because it doesn't mean you can't go back and talk to her again. But if you move on, then it shows strength on your part, and then maybe she'll become more interested in you. Like, oh, here's a guy who's got stuff going on. He doesn't really care about it. He doesn't need me.
Right.
Maybe she'll want you more after that. You can,
number three?
Number three is roofie attack.
Well, I think alcohol. Gabe brings up alcohol in every question.
Well, I made two jokes about alcohol, but there is a chapter in the book about alcohol that it's not such a bad thing, especially a couple drinks. It is one of the problems, though, that guys do is they do drink too. When they get nervous, they do drink too much, and that'll really destroy a rap right away.
Because stay in control of your buzz,
right?
Adam, I want you to talk to Jennifer here. You right, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jennifer, you there, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Okay. Jennifer developed this friends with benefits relationship with a longtime friend, and I told her that friend's been interested in her all along, and he's been waiting for his moment. She objected to that, and then her next question was, you mean all my guy friends just waiting around to bang me? And I said, well, let's hear what Adam has to say about this.
Well, I mean, that's why you guys initially became friends. Sometimes if you're friends for 10 years, after 10 years, you know, the guy
gives up,
moves on, yeah, or gives up or what have you. You know, he walks into the bathroom too many times after you've stunk up the joint and no longer feels that way. But initially, when guys and girls get together, one of them is interested.
That's exactly the lecture I gave her. But Jennifer must be very attractive, and she's got all these guy friends around. And now she's worried that all these guy friends are sort of lurking for a reason. And so what do you think about those guys, Adam?
What do I think about the guys that are lurking around?
Yeah, that are her friends, all these great friends she has.
I mean, she's hot, and the guys are just after her. And
yeah.
So she's lucky, you know, that she has these.
But she doesn't want to believe that. She wants to believe that these are her friends.
Well, I don't know why women find this such a grave insult, you know, when a guy's there who wants to have more than a friendship relationship with them, but he's just pretending to be friends, or at least that's all he can get at this point. I don't know why that's such a slap in the face to women. You know, I mean, it should be flattering. Here's a guy who's
Jennifer's
interested enough
out
to
She's
hang
freaking
out.
How many friends do you have, Jennifer?
I don't know if Adam knows it. She had sex with him.
Yeah, no, but the guy that she's now in a sexual relationship with, she's got a problem because she's really not into it, and he's like, I love you, because he's been infatuated. No, you're not that.
You're not. 2 years ago, he said he loved me 2 years ago, and now it's just sex, you know.
It's not. It's just sex for you, but for him, he's still into it, and he's been into it since he met you. Look, this is the reality. How many friends do you have, Jennifer? Why is this so overwhelming to you?
That all. I don't know. Most of my friends are guys.
All right. Well, not every single one of them is in love with you and wants to marry you, but there's a portion, a percent of them who would like to at least have sex with you, and I'm guessing that percentage is fairly high.
So basically all men are slime balls, and if they talk to me and want to be my friend, it's...
No. See,
Jennifer, that's not the point.
I'm done talking to her. This is what attracts men to women in the first place, a physical attraction. It doesn't mean there can't be an emotional or mental attraction that develops after that, but the thing that draws them to the woman in the first place is a physicality. And again, I don't know why that is such a slap in the face.
Yeah, because they're disappointed that the guy doesn't want them just for themselves. They're disappointed the guy wants them for these, you know, more physical reasons.
It's kind of like they know that they can get the attraction physically, but the friends are supposed to be there for them.
Right.
And it seems a little bit dishonest or sort of... weird that they're still being also guys and we're drawn in by the appearance in the first place.
All right,
it doesn't mean
cares?
They're not your friends, Jennifer. They're your friends.
Hey, Adam, yeah. Drew, real quick, I got the clip where Drew asked Jennifer to stick around and talk to you. It's kind of funny. Here it goes.
All right.
Jennifer, I'm going to put you... Okay, you might be on hold. I want Adam to bring in on this one, too. Would you mind?
No, it's okay.
No, would you hang on?
No, it's okay.
No, I don't want
I still got it.
Yeah.
You want the last two tips on...
Yes,
out of five.
I should read that book. Go ahead.
Number four is if a girl laughs at a bad joke that you told, then you know she's interested. So what every guy should do, have up his sleeve, he should have a joke that's not funny at all. And if the joke, and if the girl laughs, then you know she likes you.
Acid.
Yeah,
plus.
But if you're just one-on-one at a party and you tell a bad joke, they're going to feel obliged to laugh just because it'll be uncomfortable otherwise.
Well, yes. Yes, yeah. And no.
Thank you.
Yes and no. But it depends the level the level of the laugh. You
the
can
enthusiasm.
Well,
that's true.
Yes, if they double over.
Right. And say, oh, my God, you're so funny.
And,
right.
And then the hand drag afterwards.
And they touch your arm.
Yes.
Then you know
you
she
go.
Likes you.
All right, what's number five?
And then the last one is no girl, if she likes a guy, will terminate a conversation with him anyway.
Yes,
she will never
true.
Walk away. She will not go to the bathroom. Yeah. She will not get a drink. She will not go away with her girlfriends.
Yes,
she
Gabe, was, yes. I have described this as sort of waiting out the pauses.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you'll talk to a girl at a party, and it's like, yeah, who do you know? How do you know Frank? Oh, I work with him. Oh, yeah, well, we went to high school. And then there's that long pause. It's like 1,000, 200.
Sort of,
now, if someone's not interested, they'll go like, all right, well, it was nice meeting you, and they'll walk on the pause. But if they wait through the pause for you to, for the conversation to spark up again, they're interested. They're staying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely true, I guess, especially if the party's boring and she doesn't have a lot of options. But she might just hang around because she's bored. But, yeah, no, I think that's definitely – that's not a bad thing.
They won't hang – they will not hang and stand in front of you when there's nothing – when you hit that lull in the conversation unless they're attracted to you.
Right. But I'm also talking about when you've laid rap with a girl for about a half hour or longer, and she – at this point, you've gotten to know her pretty well, so she definitely now has an option of walking away or leaving you.
Right.
But she's still hanging around. She won't leave you. So at that point, you know you're in good shape. In other words, when she's gotten to know you well enough, your rap is pretty much secure.
Right.
And she still will hang around.
I got the book here. It says the number six reason you know someone is into you is when you're banging the bejesus out of them.
Oh, that's good.
Is that true, guys?
Yeah, that's a hint. No, that's a hint. That's under hints.
That's not in the book, I don't think. I think you made that up.
Oh, and, I don't know.
But
Gabe, he's just showing another example of a bad joke that you could use.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He used to bang the bejesus joke on.
Right.
All right, let's take a little break. What do you say?
Let's do.
Gabe Fishbarg is our guest tonight.
Fishbarg, B-A-R-G.
Oh, well, it was written here as Barb.
Uh-huh.
F-I-S-C-H-B-A-R-G.
Got it.
Do you have the title of the book correct?
It's called The Guide to Picking Up Young Boys.
Oh, my God.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. I'll be back in the studio next week. Our guest is Gabe Fishbarg. Gabe is the author of The Guide to Picking Up Girls. And, Gabe?
Hi.
Hey. There's been many, many books written about this. True?
Well, not really. I mean, there was a one in the 1970s that was well-known.
Oh, it was just one book, huh?
Well, not that we're very well known. There's a fair amount that are out there, I guess, but none that are really capture, you know, that are, you know, huge hits or anything.
He's got a whole chapter on overcoming the fear of rejection. That's a big one for guys.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately you have to be okay with being rejected.
You know, you got to write something like this for women too, because women these days are beginning to be the ones that ask people out, and their great fear is rejection. They're clueless. They're bewildered by how to manage rejection.
Yes, it's totally foreign to them.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that guys have to deal with it all the time. Except some women who have brothers, they think they kind of get it more than other women.
Right.
But it's definitely a shock to them when, like, they ask a guy to dance and the guy says no. They can't even, and they talk about it with their girlfriends for the next 4 days. Like, you know, why would a guy ever say no to dancing with them?
Yeah, because we hate dancing. That's
right. They hate dancing. There's a whole chapter in the book on that, actually, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you got to pretend like you like dancing.
Yeah, well, it says you're not supposed to dance ever at all.
But here's the thing. If you're a good dancer.
Yeah, if you're a professional dancer or something,
Women, when they see a guy on a dance floor doing a great job, they assume that's how he's going to be sexually.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes they think he might be gay if he's a really good dancer.
That's a good point.
And so if you're really good, you know, they're going to be wondering. And so, you know, the other thing, you know, about not dancing is it's kind of a waste of time. In other words, you should really be – that's like time you should be spending talking to girls instead of dancing. And it doesn't really get you anywhere a lot of times unless you're trying to close the deal like at the end of the night. And then you might have to dance. And also like at a wedding, you definitely have to dance. You can't be the guy who refuses to dance at a wedding.
All right, let's talk to Jason, who is shy and has trouble meeting girls. Jason.
Hello.
It's Valentine's Day, Jason. This Valentine's Day, you're going to meet a girl.
How old's Jason?
21. And he is a ball of fire.
Jason, you ever you sound like a passionate man. Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Yeah, actually I have once.
How did you meet her?
Jungle Jim.
One of my friends was dating her, and she approached me. And that's how I met her.
She approached you. What do you do, Jason, for a living?
I do a little roofing work to the side.
Roofing.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. Where did
that
she approach
is bad.
You?
That's worse than drywalling.
Where did the approach take place?
Well, I was at my house at a party.
Oh, a party. Well, that's a good place.
We were all drunk, yeah.
Well, Jason, man, do you have any other friends that have girlfriends that you can hit on?
Well, I've tried hitting on them. It's just like,
Jason.
Well, here's the problem.
Scared I run from them, like.
Young Jason. Oh. And I don't know if Gabe addresses this in the book or not, but if you have one of these jobs like I had where you're swinging a hammer, you're up on some roof, and 10 years goes by, you don't come across a woman. Uh-oh. So there's no way.
I'll explain why. I mean, first of all, none at work.
There's none at work.
You can't afford to go out and drink and go to bars.
Well, I just mean if you're not going to college and you're not in a work environment that has women around, you have to then go out at night and go to bars and try to meet women. And if you're shy like young Jason is, it's going to be a tough row to hoe.
Yeah.
What would you suggest for a guy like Jason?
Well, I guess he should look for someone he has something in common with. So if he's
like
at a bar.
Roofing?
No, I mean, if he's at a bar and he sees another girl who's shy, who's in the corner.
Quaaludes.
He's like, I like 30-pound felt. What do you like? And she's like, well, I'm a composite shingle woman myself.
My roof is leaking with this huge rainstorm, Adam. I need your advice.
But no, in terms of body language, yeah, he should. If he's at a bar and he sees someone who's similar body language to him, who's not maybe not having a good time.
Right.
Then
fetal position.
Right. Like crying uncontrollably, he could hit on her.
But like a guy, there's nothing a woman, and Gabe, you stop me if I'm wrong, but women really don't like a guy who has too many question marks floating around his head. They want a guy who's a little bit assertive, not pushy, but they want a guy who feels, who they at least think is confident, right?
Yeah, they want to feel safe. You're absolutely right. They want to definitely feel safe that the guy's not going to lose his control and freak out on them or act weird on them. They definitely want a guy who's got it together a little bit. He doesn't have to be perfect, but he definitely has to be a little bit strong.
Right. He's got to be a little assertive.
Yeah.
He's got to be the scout leader, one of the scouts.
Now, do you think that, you know, a lot of when a girl walks by a construction site and the men whistle, is it because they whistle because women are so foreign to them and that's why they do that?
Yes. Yes, they're attempting to communicate with them. They don't even know what language they speak.
Yeah, it's like if you walk by the lion's cage and you had a big steak or something, the lion would move around.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I had roommates who were bartenders, and they weren't any better looking than I was, but I had a job where I worked with a bunch of El Salvadorian guys all day, and they had a job where they served up sex on the beach to a bunch of college chicks, and you do the math.
Yeah, they were getting techniques. They were learning techniques, and you weren't learning anything.
What's forget about learning. They just had people in front of them constantly.
Right.
They had Oswaldo in front of me.
Here's Don, 23. Don?
Yeah?
What's up, Don?
Oh, sorry. I don't know exactly how to, like, put my question. It's kind of a long story, so I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version.
Please. Cliff Notes.
Huh?
Cliff Notes.
Loosen up.
Oh, Adam, okay. I will
Drew,
not
don't talk.
To, I know.
Stop talking to people that call the
I'm
show.
So
haven't
sorry.
I warned you about that?
You have, and I should listen to you. I should listen to you.
Please.
Okay, my boyfriend and I have been dating for, like, 5 months. When we first started dating, he was really, like, nice, and he'd always say really nice things to me and tell me, you know, that he admired my strength because the adversity that I had gone through as a child and that I was pretty and smart and all this other stuff. And lately, he's been acting, like, really weird, and I've asked him, like, do you even want to be seen anymore? You know, like, what's wrong? And he says, oh, it's not you, it's me. I don't know exactly what's up. I don't know if I necessarily want a long-term relationship, and I just don't know. And there's just a few things about you that I don't know that I can get over. And lately, he's been saying things like, he told me the other day, because I had made a phone call to my doctor to make an appointment, and granted, it was a girly thing, but I figured if you can't talk about that in front of your boyfriend, who can you talk about it in front of? And he was like, that's what I mean. You're just, like, rough around the edges. Like, you lack class. And he's told me that when I talk about my past.
All right,
now,
done. Forget it. It's done.
Really? I think the guy's a dick. If it's done, it's why does she want to be with this guy?
Well, whatever it is, it's over.
No, not necessarily. No, wait.
He said he needed space. It wasn't her. It was him.
I think so. He won't. I told him, if you don't want to be going out anymore, that's fine. If you don't want to date anymore, that's fine. But he won't break up with me.
Let's put it together in context. Were you physically abused when you were growing up?
I was physically, sexually, mentally.
All right. So, Adam, she's attracted to her current boyfriend, right? She's attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the guy is kind of an abuser.
Yeah.
And he may be building towards that now. He may be going from flipping into that mode. What does he do for a living?
He works for a trucking company.
No,
that's bad.
Yeah, he's not a trucker or nothing. He's more like a executive guy.
Yeah, dispatcher.
He's not like, I don't even know if things he says on purpose out of malice. I think he just doesn't even think before. Like the other day I was talking about my past and he says, you know what? No more stories about Michigan, because he's like, they're all just ghetto, and it lowers my opinion of you. It really does. And I'm just like,
all right. Well, listen, Don. Why do you want to be with this guy?
I don't know, because he treats me better than any other guy.
Yeah,
I've ever
better
seen.
Than your abusive dad all the other screwballs you're with.
Have you had some treatment along the way, Don?
No, I was supposed to. I do take medicine they diagnosed me with borderline personality disorder.
All right, so borderlines perceive things that aren't, they distort the perceptions of things sometimes. And it may well be, maybe some of your borderline features have been coming out and maybe you've been sort of attacking him. You think?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's...
Okay, listen,
yeah.
Don, how old is Don, by the way?
23.
Drew, start giving the ages,
I did. You're not listening.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. And
I don't...
You know I'm right, because you didn't argue.
I don't know that you're wrong, okay? But the deal is, Don, look, you need to stay with, get some treatment. You need to contain some of these behaviors. You need to educate yourself about borderline issues and maybe get in the group process and start to understand how you affect other people. He may really be hanging in as best he can by his fingernails this relationship. You may be pushing him away. One of the things about borderlines, and given the history you've had, naturally enough, you'd have borderline quality about you. I mean, that's what creates borderline personality, is the abuse that you've had. But one of the central features about being a borderline is an obsession with abandonment, right?
Yes.
And when you have that obsession, what you end up doing on some subconscious level is creating that thing you fear the most. And
all
so
right,
you
Drew,
may be pushing him away.
Stop curing everybody. Get rid of her, would you?
Right.
Jesus
so, Don,
Christ.
Just get in a group process, will you?
Yes, Don, get some therapy.
All right, here's Ricky 18.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going? Who is this?
It's Drew.
That's
and Adam
Dr.
And,
Drew.
And Gabe Fishbart.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. That's nice, Ricky. That's nice. Good times, huh?
He just used the F word, so we had to hang up on
him. You can't really use that when you lay rap, I don't think, unless the girl's really into it.
The F word?
Yeah. A lot of guys, they'll curse right away to, act as if they're confident.
Prowess, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Really?
Unless the girl's giving off that vibe, you go out.
I'll do that. Like, I'll go to a party, I'll go, hey, bitch, give me some effing bean dip. Pronto.
Right. Unless she starts in with it first, you shouldn't really do that.
Right.
Eric, 26.
Hold on, I'm writing this down. On the swearing.
Right. Not just swearing, the F word.
The F word.
Any F word. The 630
word. What about the C word, if I call it a C word?
Yeah, that would some girls like it. I think it's coming back in vogue, I think.
But generally not good?
Generally not good.
Bro, I wish I would have had this book. When
the N word, you can say N word.
Okay.
That's good. That's starting nice. To work again. I did a lot of research on that.
You had a whole chapter on the N word and the C word?
Right, MF works.
Yeah, that's good.
And,
hey, nigger, sit down.
Eric.
Oh, that was completely out of context.
It's nigga, anyway.
Eric, what's up?
Okay, hey, Dr. Drew, this is actually for you. I'll try to make it short. Okay, I'm 26, and the guy that I'm dating, I just found out, is 20 years old. I have no problem with that, but my problem is that...
Was he lying to you about his age?
In the beginning, yeah.
All right, so that's kind of a problem already, right?
Yeah, we've been together for 2 years now, so... My feelings are, like, so strong that I just... The age thing is, like, out the door. It's, like, whatever. My main problem is that I think that I'm becoming really obsessed with him. He's, like, my first real relationship. And just, like, right now I'm trying to call him on the phone and he's not answering. And I'm just completely going ballistic.
You think he's giving you the shoe?
I don't think that's it. I just don't... I don't know if it's I'm trying to control him or
well,
what, but I just...
What are the ground rules in your relationship?
The ground rules...
Are you guys allowed to have other relationships? Are you completely monogamous? Have you talked about it?
Not relationships, but friendships.
Friendships. Quote,
okay,
friendships.
Actually, this whole thing goes way beyond. He's bisexual, I'm not.
Yeah.
He's kind of like in the closet with his bisexuality. So, with his other world, he's dating girls, but... With me, he's just with me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but this is just
extra chaos. Yeah, extra chaos
yeah,
here.
Really
this guy
crazy.
Screwed up, right?
And
yeah.
You crave that crayon. Why the drama? Why do you need drama?
I don't know if I want the drama. I want him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just, you want a guy whose picture's under the dictionary definition of drama, and why do you want to be with a guy who's so filled with drama? I mean, a healthy person wouldn't be attracted to this jackass, but you
yeah,
can't
I
sleep.
Think that's scaring me. Is that I think maybe I'm not healthy.
That's right.
Well, at the very least, this is sort of an adolescent preoccupation, right?
Yeah.
That's what young, 16-year-olds get into these sorts of obsessions. It's an obsessive relationship.
Right.
And it's an obsessive preoccupation with someone who's not really even available. It's a chase. And
yeah.
To the extent that you get the guy, you're going to be stuck in a typhoon.
Right.
Of chaos.
Semen typhoon.
Well, he's,
it's like I'm miserable, but I'm still like just staying with it.
Yeah, I think you ought to really...
Let's just go ahead and say more therapy.
Yeah, that's the easy answer, but...
I mean, he's hooked up with a guy who's nutty.
I suppose this the simplest advice is rethink whether you really want to be with this guy. Yes, of course, you're obsessed with him, you're infatuated, but... Really try to think about what's healthy for you, and I don't know that it's the healthiest thing for you right now.
All right, yeah. Let's take a break, Drew.
All right, I'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Dr. Drew is back at home base with Gabe Fishbard. Gabe is the author of The Guide to Pick Up Girls.
Guide to Picking Up Girls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Another typo. That's all right.
Okay.
I'll fix that. How long's the book been out?
A couple months, like 2 months.
How's it doing?
It's doing great. Did a lot of PR. Been on Howard Stern, Ricky Lake, Jay Leno, CNN,
wow.
Fox News.
Jesus
Wayne
Christ.
Brady, ABC.
Well, Leno put you on, huh?
Well, I wasn't. He talked about the book. He used it for like a jaywalking segment.
Ah.
And he used like the pickup lines in it, and then, I mean, the book says you're not supposed to use them,
right?
But he used them to create a segment where he was using them as part of the jaywalking segment. So it's
now,
kind of
now
funny.
Why are they in there if you're not supposed to use them?
I guess because you can't have a book about picking up girls without having pickup lines in the book.
Uh-huh.
So the original version didn't have it, but then the book publisher wanted me to put them in.
Right.
And so I have put in like 50, you know, the pretty well known ones. You know,
well,
some
what?
Are funny, some aren't funny.
Give us one, not necessarily a pickup line, but what's a good icebreaker? If you're at a party, if you're at a bar, there's an attractive woman, maybe you guys have met eyes, and you're going to walk over to where she is. Should you just introduce yourself? Should you ask her if she wants a drink?
Don't ask her if she wants a drink. Definitely introduce yourself. Just say, hi, how are you? What's your name? How are you doing? Or, you know, are these your friends? What do you do? You know, how long have you been here tonight?
Those
are all, you know, the common questions. You know, I mean, if you want, you try to be funny. I mean, you can make a joke about something in the room.
You said ask about the clothing.
Yeah, ask about the clothing. That's a nice scarf. Where'd
ooh,
you get that dress?
What about just saying nice shoes? Women will eat that up.
Yeah, that's not bad. Especially, you can say nice nails sometimes works if it's obvious that the girl, you know, did something to her nails if they're unusual.
Yeah, so,
or nice hair. You say, yo, you know, you have great hair.
Starting off with a compliment is
right.
A good way to
but
go.
But you can't do it too much in a lecherous tone. You have to be kind of cool.
Right.
Like you don't really want to know the answer. You know, you're just being nice.
Right. You're not interested. Sure.
You're not that interested.
Right. But nice shoes. Is that in there?
No, it's not in there, but it does talk in general about, you know, making a comment about her clothing.
All right.
So...
See a little bit of a heavier call here I want to get to real quick. This is Peter, who's Adam, 38.
Peter, 38.
All right, Peter.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Real quick, here's my situation. I'm 38. I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter, and today her mother's been away, and I came home early when I'm usually not home.
How long has she been your stepdaughter?
Excuse me?
How long has she been your stepdaughter?
We've been married for 4 years. We've been together for about six.
So you've known this girl for 6 years?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
And she's always been a good kid, except for just about this year when school started. She started hanging around with the wrong crowd. And anyway, long and short of it, I caught her in the hot tub with a guy who's way too older than her, I think probably 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
They were both naked, and right after school when I got home, in the hot tub together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell her mother about it, of course. In fact, I have to call her in about 45 minutes.
Mm.
And I'm real confused about, A, what to tell her mother, and B, what my role is, or what's it becoming with this girl.
Wait a minute, I'm confused. The mother is, you mean your current wife?
Yeah, her mother, my wife.
Yeah, her mother.
Yeah.
What's so confusing about that? Come on, Drew.
Well, where is mom? Where is she away?
She's out of town on business.
On business.
Yeah.
So you walked in, you caught them, and what did you do?
When I caught him, he jumped out of the tub and started grabbing his clothes, and I threw her a towel, and I said, get dressed and come out here right now. I wanted them both to come out, but he took off.
Right. And what did she say?
She came out saying, and we immediately got into a fight, which is kind of rare, about how I'm not her father, and I don't...
Oh, my God. It's like a scene. It's like an archetypal, you know, a scene from a movie.
Yeah.
She gets defensive because she's caught red-handed.
And she yelled at me to get out because she's naked and things like that, you know.
Oh, my God.
And tonight I sent her over to grandmother's and said I had to work, and I came back to work because I was kind of flustered about the whole thing.
Did she say anything about telling her mom?
She said, go ahead and tell her, basically.
All right, well.
Well, you...
I think you just got to say exactly what happened.
That's right. You just exactly what happened. Don't sugarcoat it. Just lay it out. And then decide what consequences you're going to create. And then you got to sit down and talk with her about it. Mom needs to have a little talk with her. Does mom spend enough time with her?
Yeah, she spends a lot of time with her. It's kind of rare that she's out of town.
Yeah.
Where's original dad?
Original dad is your typical out-of-the-picture... I think they got divorced when she was three, hung around for another year or two, and she hasn't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about, Peter.
I mean, listening here, to you guys, even I've learned.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, too, which I've found, because I have some step-parents myself, and I have a sister myself, and the women don't take to the stepdads that well at all. They're mad at their original dads, their biological dads. They have a lot of hurt and a lot of energy that really should be directed toward them. And it ends up getting directed toward anyone with a penis who lives in the same house.
Ironically, except the biological dad. He becomes idealized as some bigger-than-life Superman's going to come rescue her someday.
Mentioned that someday she's going to go live with her dad.
There you go. Oh, my God. Right. Peter, listen, here's the bottom line, Peter. The bottom line. Unless you want to see continued problems with her behavior, get her some treatment.
Well, what do you mean? What's he going
to
do?
Talk to mom about getting her evaluated.
Yeah, you got to talk to mom. But also, Peter, I would have no qualms in saying to her, look, you did something that was out of line, and the second part that was out of line was that you're not my parent BS. You have some feelings toward your dad. That's fine. Don't take them out on me. I don't mind. I don't think there's anything wrong with laying the law down a little bit.
Oh, no, you must. You must. But
mention that you're hanging in, you're paying the bills, you're trying to make this family unit work, and that you don't need the grief from her.
You must treat the behaviors. You must create consequences. You must set some limits here. But you also must get her some help.
I actually think I think they might respond to that. Maybe they even want that. Maybe they want somebody to tug on their reins a little bit and explain to them which way's up and which way's down.
Yeah.
Up until recently, it's been kind of great. I've been more of the kind of friend, and her mother's been the disciplinarian. I didn't feel it was my role, but it's getting to where she needs more discipline than just one. You know, it's getting to be a lot on her mother, and it's getting to put me in an awkward position.
Where did you pick up the stepmom?
Where did I pick her up?
Yeah.
We actually met in a dance class.
Oh, okay.
See?
That's
got to dance.
Great place to wait and win.
Hey, Peter, our parting thought is just you did nothing wrong. You're actually the one who's hanging out and trying to make things work. And don't be scared to step up and take that position.
Oh, yeah.
If she can't handle it at 14, then that's her situation. It's not your problem.
Thank you guys for your advice. And the real awkward part is when she got out of the hot tub, her ass.
I knew it was coming.
I didn't at all.
No, I didn't either, but until the part where she when he said the real awkward part. Yeah.
Oh, no, he completely got me.
Yeah, that was good.
The dance class thing sounded bogus.
Well, you're right.
He stuttered, and it was like,
he got me completely.
Dance class. Dude, no one meets at dance class. I mean, it's kind of.
Well, why not?
I guess you do. I guess
you said it was a good idea 10 seconds
ago. That's true. I'm just trying to back you up.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. I got your back.
Well, that was good. Peter wins the award.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Gabe Fishbarg is our guest tonight. He wrote the guide to picking up girls, and we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm over here at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Dr. Drew is in studio with our guest, Gabe Fishbarg. Gabe is the author of The Guide to Picking Up Girls, and evidently it's doing quite well.
Yes. I'm surprised you haven't seen it or read it. I mean,
well, you know, I'm on cable TV, so I don't have to read those books anymore. Oh, yeah.
I see. You don't
right.
need... Oh, is that one of the things in your guide? Is to get a television show or be in a band?
Once you're so happening, you don't need a rap anymore. Like Adam, it's like, you know, it's. I guess you could get it for a friend or something. But,
Well, I'm gonna buy a couple cases of the books.
You're advising kids. Friends. Yeah, you're advising kids about stuff like this. You need to keep this book handy. This is Nate, who's 27. Nate.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, well, I have a real medical question here.
All right.
My testicle, my left testicle, I can visualize it for you. Imagine putting a hard-boiled egg in water and it cracking open and some of it spilling out and solidifying. That's what it feels like.
It feels like?
Like there's sort of a tail coming off
like,
your...
Rubbery?
If you look at it, there's nothing actually coming out of it, though.
No. I mean, inside my sack.
Drew, he's talking about his testicle.
Yeah,
I understand,
like
but how do you know that something feels like it's coming out of it when nothing's coming out of it?
Well, like, my right testicle feels like just a ball, right?
Yeah.
My left one feels like a ball, but like...
I understand. You cracked open and something's spilling out.
Yeah,
Got it. I thought if he palpates it, he feels that. I got it. Listen, were you struck there ever? Did you get hit there?
I mean, not that I recall. Maybe as a kid, if I don't remember, but... It's never caused pain or anything like that.
Well, it is the thing that's coming out of it kind of like a ball, like a little bubble?
No, it's almost just like a, just kind of.
It's like a bag of worms?
Yeah, it just kind of feels kind of,
Nice, isn't it? The bag of worm feeling can be blood vessels, veins, that can kind of get going down there. The little, like a bleb, like you're blowing a tire, can be a varicocele or a cystocele, something like that.
Well, not blowing a tire, but you have the bulging.
Bleb. Yeah, a little bulging bleb.
Bleb.
Yeah, that makes sense. Your next
nothing right, to worry about, or
and you can crack, you can fracture your testicle, and that's a serious thing. But usually that's from trauma, so it is nothing, probably nothing to worry about. But clearly something's going on that needs to be sort of defined. You need a diagnosis.
I know.
So it's pretty simple. They just either the doctor would just feel it, maybe be able to tell just by feel, or an ultrasound. So
you
go
know,
ahead.
I recall going through physicals, like in high school, going through standing in line with all the other.
Yeah.
And them saying nothing.
Well, something's changed. And the hernia sometimes, you may not know what you're feeling down there. The hernia is second to send down into the testes. I've got a hernia now.
You do?
Yeah, I just noticed it the other day. I was like, oh, no.
Where is it?
Coming out of my left spermatic cord.
Nice.
Yeah, I've heard, going back to the testicle problem, I've heard that story also. Like, you laying rap on a girl and suddenly your testicle hurts. And I always advise that you should go to the hospital immediately rather than continuing the rap.
That's just blue balls, I think.
Right. So I think.
But blue, there should have a chapter on blue balls and how to manipulate around that, right?
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Gabe, what about is there a chapter in there and on not beating off and sort of keeping the eye of the tiger when you go out? Because I know if I beat off, I'm not very effective.
Yeah, you know, I was. It's such common knowledge now that, you know, it was even in that, you know, in the movie Something About Mary, they talked about it.
Right.
So I couldn't really put it in the book because it's not really. That, you know, it's not so...
It's too lame.
It's not shocking anymore. It's not shocking. Everyone talks about it. But yeah, it's definitely, if you wait a week or more, depending how old you are, and you try to lay rap, and you're totally backed up, I mean, you're going to be a total mess.
It's not going to seem right. Yeah, you're going to seem desperate. Well, they don't like the lean and hungry look, women. They don't like that.
Yes, that's an expression. There's a chapter titled, You Look Hungry, You Go Hungry.
Very good. Very good.
That's true.
Yes.
I know. I don't know why women are so cruel that way, but if they see a guy and he smacks it all of desperation,
Forget it.
He gets chucked right on the heap of desperate geeks. Where's if we see a woman, if she's attractive, if she seems a little desperate or off her game, or maybe her ego isn't what it could be,
pouncing.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the wolf dragging the sheep, the weak sheep that's lost her way. You know,
remember Jennifer, right. One of the earlier callers, that I made that point with her, and she was like, what are you talking about? Offended. How dare you say that men are that way? And they're that way.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they're that way.
Before you got on the line, Adam.
Okay, buddy. You're right.
And also, if a guy looks full, then that's how he gets even more full. In other words,
you should pop a few buttons on your shirt and stick your gut out.
Yeah. No, if you're dating a bunch of girls, and even if you're not super interested in them, it's good to have them, as a date set up in the future, so you feel you have extra confidence if you know you've got stuff going on.
It's easier to pick up a girl if you're already dating a few girls.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Okay.
Here's J18. Jay?
Hey, Adam. What's up?
Hey, Jay.
I want to tell you I've been enjoying watching you on Jimmy Kimmel and listening to you on the radio.
Thank you, Jay.
Jay's from Florida.
Shocking.
I'm not a redneck now.
What part of Florida, pray tell?
North.
North Florida. Like Jackson, near the Capitol?
Two counties below Duval County.
You guys got a Waffle House over there?
No Waffle House, no. Florida? What are you talking about?
Well, we have one of those. I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah, it's called the Waffle House.
I would reckon that in Florida and in the South, they probably eat, if you took the amount of waffles that the average citizen eats,
we wouldn't need we wouldn't need a space shuttle. We could just climb the waffles.
We have
not stacking. I'm talking about spreading.
Right. Okay.
This guy sounds exactly like. I have a quick story. I was on a plane today coming to LA, and this guy sounds exactly like a guy sitting next to me. From Florida, with the thick, accent and the whole mannerisms. And he's trying to lay rap on these two girls in front of me who were obviously hardcore New York tough chicks. And they were just totally, stupefied that this guy would use his techniques from the South and that they would actually work on people from the North. In other words, so I think...
Do they?
Not really.
Because sometimes they might go, hey, that's cute. Oh,
They were horrified, giving each other, the looks of, and I just felt so bad for the guy. But he was a very nice guy.
So the advice is consider the culture you're trying to break into.
Consider, yes. If you have more in common with people where in your area, then you definitely are better off. Yeah. And he was a nice guy. He wouldn't leave them alone. He helped them with their bags. He followed them off the plane.
Oh, boy.
And then they,
the look hungry, go hungry.
Yes. And I was just watching. I had to follow him because I was so interested in what was going to happen. And eventually they, went into the bathroom to ditch him.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
We have a Huddle House.
Huddle House waffles. Good time.
Nice. All right, so what's your question, Jay?
I was just wanting to tell Adam that I have the whole Adam Carolla experience going on when I'm watching Jimmy Kimmel. See, I'm watching you on there, and then when that goes to commercial, I mute the TV and turn on the radio and listen to the rerun version of Loveline over here in Florida.
Thanks, Jay.
Jay.
Then I mute the radio, and Jimmy Kimmel comes back on and watch TV.
Oh, man, Jay, you must have... you've gotten an ass full of me over the last week, have you not?
Say that again?
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks, Jay. Keep watching. Keep eating them waffles, and keep reaching for the stars.
I loved your reaction to that Maneater song. Well, that was funny.
Oh, yeah. You know, Drew, they play that Hole and Crap song, Maneater, every time I go out on stage. You know, they play... Because they're screwing with me, that's why.
Oh, my God. You mean Cleto does that?
Yes. Oh. Whoa, here she comes. Watch out, boy. You know, Hall & Oates doesn't get enough crap for writing those disgusting songs like Maneater and Family Man. People remember them for their good songs, but I want people to remember Hall & Oates for their crappy songs.
Yeah, and actually I have a chapter in the book about musical selection when you have a girl over in your apartment.
Really?
And if she looks at your CDs and you have Hall & Oates... You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So you have to, every now and then you got to go through your collection and get rid of the stuff that looks bad or hide them at least.
Now, what do you want in there? You want some like Al Green or Luther Vandross or something?
You should have variety. That way, hopefully one of those she'll be interested in and you'll say, oh, I'm a big fan of that too. And so that way you should have a one from each genre.
Isn't it cool just to have like a lot of jazz and classical and stuff that will make them think you're smarter than you are?
Yeah, as long as there's a variety. In other words, you can't have all jazz because then she'll think you're might be a little boring. That might that you're not open to new things. So, I think
you gotta throw some System of a Down in there, and you're all set.
Where do you come down on like Insane Clown Posse?
It's good to have. If she's into that, and you have one of those,
but you don't know if she's into it.
You can put one of those Mexican wrestling matches just on your coffee table.
Put the mask on there.
Yeah, and
you have a lava lamp, in reserve just in case. She's
into the disco scene.
Right.
All right. Who's next, Drew?
This is Barry, 26.
Yeah. I'm into good-looking bodybuilding chicks that are like really strong. I'm just curious as to doesn't seem like a normal fetish or something.
You mean bodybuilding sort of veins in the arm and striated?
Which means
not really that that masculine, but like for some reason like the good-looking ones, like fit almost like fitness chicks in a way.
You mean the ones that are on the covers of the magazines and stuff?
Yeah, but stronger than normal.
Who isn't interested
strong
in those? I mean,
well, hold on, Barry. Are you interested in bodybuilder women, or are you just interested in women that are very fit?
Kind of strength, I guess. I don't know.
You like the big arms and stuff, right?
No.
To some extent, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then. Okay.
He's embarrassed. Listen, here's what's happening.
You're saying you want, would you like a woman who was 5'5 and 165 pounds?
No, absolutely not.
I'll put him on hold, will you, so I can yell at him without him talking? What the F is this nut job talking about?
We
gave him 15 different scenarios for bodybuilder chicks or workout chicks, and he's not agreed with any of them.
Here's the deal. It's a fetish, and as everyone with a fetish, they're embarrassed. And so he's having trouble really admitting.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because he's into the big-armed bodybuilding types. Not the extreme ones, but the ones that are not the fit ones, the ones that are clearly bodybuilders, but not super masculine bodybuilders. Right, Barry?
Yeah. Pretty much.
See?
But that's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
But I think it's good if it's good for you, because if you're in a room or a party or a bar and there's a girl like that, then
you're on,
and a lot of guys in the room won't be interested in her. So you're in a good position because you'll.
Yeah, but what do you look like, Barry? Because those chicks only go out with the big blockhead guys.
Yeah, I'm I'd say 160 of 5'9". I mean, I'm not,
But are you a bodybuilder?
No, he's not a bodybuilder.
All right, that's a shame. You better become one.
Now, hold on a second. Listen, screeners, I don't want to talk to these jack-offs all night. Do you hear me?
But only chicks from now on?
Just guys like Barry couldn't. I like a whole lot of women. Then they just sit there and argue with you all night. You like a bodybuilder? I don't want no veins in you. You said you wanted a strong one. Yeah. Well, what about 5'5"? What's it? No. I don't got time for this crap. So he likes tough chicks. Just go find one. But I'll tell you something. Those chicks go out with bodybuilder guys.
Yes, that's right.
Have you ever seen like a super fitness bodybuilder chick to go out with a scrawny guy?
No.
Unless he has a lot of money, maybe, and she needs
maybe
something like that.
New job.
All right. But does Barry sound like a guy who's independently wealthy to you?
No.
Angelica, 16. Angelica.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, this is for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm like 16 and everything, and I wanted to know if, because I've heard you say the other night that most 16-year-olds can't have orgasms.
Most, yeah. Not all, but most.
Yeah, but, I have never had an orgasm, ever, and I've been having sex since I was, 14,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even feel anything. I have, no feeling whatsoever.
Why do you do it, then? Yeah, I know. Why do you do it?
That's why I don't do it no more.
Okay, well, is it that you would do it so long that you would get numb, or there's just no feeling from the moment it starts?
No, there's just no feeling at all. Even, whenever, I lost my virginity, I didn't feel nothing but the pain, but, right after, whenever I lost my virginity, I didn't feel nothing but the pain, and that's it.
All right,
got it.
Yeah, Angelica, one of the things that causes what's called a somatic dissociation, where you literally sort of numb and disconnect from the pelvic region as if you were sexually abused in childhood. Anything like that happen to you?
Yeah, I was sexually molested when I was 7.
All right, so that's how that happens, right? It's a brain mechanism to protect you from the trauma of what happened when you were 7, and particularly when it was a painful experience, when there actually is physical trauma associated with the sexual abuse. That's when this kind of reaction tends to develop. Was it a particularly sort of traumatic experience in terms of pain, Angelica?
Yes.
Was it?
All right. Now, hold on a second.
What?
We'll assume it was. She was 7. You know what I mean? Drew, you're right.
These are the ones that ended up in the emergency room and that kind of thing. So,
here's the point. Stop having sex.
She did.
I know, but I mean, don't get going with it again. Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And you're not having sex with him?
No, not anymore, because I don't see what the point is.
Right, and how, is he okay with that?
Well, yeah, he's fine with it, but no, it's like, but he doesn't know, because I always had to, like, fake it all the time.
Oh, boy. But is he okay that you've withdrawn the sex now?
Huh?
Is he okay with the fact that you've withdrawn the sex from him?
Yeah, he's, like, fine with it, you know, it didn't really matter to him, you know?
Mm.
I mean, I don't know, because I was just really curious about it, because I don't know why. I've never felt it from the first time I lost my virginity.
Oh, okay. Well, it's because of what Drew said about you being sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you got to get some help for that.
Because I've never had, like, any therapy or nothing, because nobody ever wanted to help me with it. You know, they just...
I know.
Okay, well, now you have a reason to want to get help.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right, that's what you got
to
do.
You need to work with people who specialize in dealing with trauma victims, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who did this to you? Was your father?
No, my father's friend. He was like 30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they said that they couldn't prove anything, so nobody believed me, so I never got any help from him.
Oh, well, that's horrible. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You have a horrible, horrible family. Mm-hmm. Is your dad still around?
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he I is. Have both parents.
You get along with your dad?
No, not at all.
All right. Do not get pregnant.
Please.
And get some...
What?
Yes.
What?
And I had, another question about...
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, all the times, we've had sex, we've never ever used protection at all, and he would, ejaculate inside me and everything, and I've never once got pregnant,
well,
at all.
Okay, you will. Guaranteed. Okay?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like...
Angelica?
Yeah.
You will. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
That you have to, if you're going to have sex, you have to use some kind of birth control.
Okay.
But we'd advise you to just stay abstinent. Just that's going to be better for you right now, particularly as you get into some treatment, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, thank you. All right,
take care of yourself. Yeah. Don't you want to just take these guys nuts, these dads?
Squash
them. I like to pull them off and then take a fungo bat and just freehand them into the outfield.
Boom.
Just these retarded hillbilly parents. Stop having kids, you screwballs. Jesus Christ. They get abused. You don't do anything for them. It's shocking that she's had only unprotected sex the thousands of times she's had sex. Now believes she's impervious to man's seed because Gomer banged the bejesus out of her 1,500 times and she has no junior coming out of her. You know what I mean?
You know
what's going on in this country?
Listen,
I want to start jailing these parents. I want to start abusing them like they abuse their kids. Yes, Drew?
I was reading an article in Vanity Fair. They were sort of visiting Roe versus Wade, its anniversary and whatnot. And in there, this guy was looking at the history of Planned Parenthood. And Margaret Sanger, who set up Planned Parenthood, was a driving force in establishing it, did it allegedly because she set up Planned Parenthood because she believed the wrong people were having children.
Oh, really?
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I found that fascinating. I had no idea that was the history of Planned Parenthood.
And listen, everybody, I know we got to go to break here, Drew, but this wrong people having kids thing always ends up boiling down to some sort of racial thing or some sort of socioeconomic thing.
Yeah, but
thing.
Margaret Sanger is sort of the queen, sort of a liberal icon.
Yeah,
you know?
And look, I'm just saying, I don't care what color you are. If you don't have any money and you're 15 years old, you don't need to be getting pregnant. That's it. That's the end of discussion. I don't care what religion you are, though you'll never be Jewish because they would never do that. I mean, let's face it. We know we're talking about the blacks and the Mexicans. Well, let's be honest. But listen, that's not the point. The point is, Drew, what's the point?
The point is you're just digging your grave very,
all right,
very
but
deep.
Let's face it. We got no problem with the Jews.
No. Look, look, the reason you're talking like that, I'm going to come to your defense before somebody shoots you, is... you don't mean that. What you mean is
you really don't care.
No, I do with the Jews.
I do with the Jews. Right, they're fine, not. They're not. In the Asians. These aren't problem people.
No.
But the whites, the blacks, and the Mexicans.
Listen, you know that there are plenty of Asians out there that would also not that have parents, but Asians that would also get into behaviors that could end up with a pregnancy. Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Where are they? The point is, it doesn't matter what color.
Where are the Asians and the Jews? Where are they? Where's all the young kids?
I mean, yeah. When you pick up someone and you a lot of guys, a lot of guys are trying to pick up just to get laid for that night.
That's right.
And a lot of guys don't realize that you can get a girl pregnant just by having sex once.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Oh, so most of the people listening to the show don't realize that.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure most of the people listening to the show understand where babies come from.
Stork drops them off.
Right.
Listen, all I want is for everybody who doesn't have enough money and doesn't have enough age and enough sense not to have the kids.
That's
just
all.
Hold off.
Whatever color, whatever socioeconomic, whatever.
That's
whatever.
Right. That's
and
right.
And the reality is whatever you are, kids, having a kid is going to hold you down.
That's right.
Going to keep you in whatever bracket you're trying to break out of.
Isn't the problem, though, that the condoms that they make nowadays still do not feel good, still are a problem? Can't they put a man on the moon? They can't make a condom that feels good?
First off, it's different people.
It's different people. I thought they're all working on the same stuff.
No.
Teflon and all that.
One group working on the condoms. The other group's working on space exploration.
I'll have to test some condoms again, but I think they're pretty good these days, my understanding. I know Trojan's going way out of their way to try to come up with something.
These are just stupid people who don't have enough sense.
Yeah. I think people just don't like condoms.
Well, is that too? Okay. All right. Should we take a break?
Let's do.
We'll be back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Gabe Fishbarg is our guest tonight. He's the author of The Guide to Picking Up Girls.
He also has a website called, interestingly enough, pickingupgirls.com. No spaces.
All right. So if you want to get the book, you
can... Can you get the book through that site?
No, you still have to... It's more of general information about the book. Has all the media coverage and general background on the book.
Can't buy it through the site?
No, it refers you to Amazon.com.
Basically. Okay. How much is the book?
The book, well, it depends where you get it. If you get it in a bookstore, it's available in every bookstore. Different places have different discounts, but on Amazon, it's about $9.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Really?
Price of a movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think of what the cost of a medium prostitute is these days, I mean, this book pays for itself in the first 5 minutes, right?
It depends what you're ordering from the prostitute, but...
Yeah, but you, even the kiddie menu is going to run you $75.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Some are less. I wouldn't know, but anyway.
What do you know, Gabe?
I thought you would know. But.
Well, it's true. When you see those...
Yeah, now that you bring it up.
When you watch those HBO shows and they do those streetwalker exposés.
Yeah, that's where you learned about it, Adam. Yes, of course.
Got the women out on the street there. It's like $20 for a BJ.
And then they argue about it.
Yeah,
the guy's talking him down.
I saw that one, and the woman preferred to work there rather than work in a strip club, even though she makes less money.
Because she's
her own boss. She's her own boss out on the street.
She's hands-on,
That's craziness. Okay. Here's Ava, who's 29. Ava?
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Oh, great.
Drew, I have been listening to you since the Richard Blade Poor Man days.
Wow.
Nine.
And you moved away from L.A.
I did. I went up to school, and now I'm an artist, and I listen to you guys at night while I'm painting.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys are awesome, 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 awesome. Adam, I love you.
Thanks, baby. Yeah. Thanks for the nine awesomes.
I know. And one more thing. It was so interesting listening to you guys interview.
Heidi.
Don't you wish you were in the studio tonight, Adam? Actually, I did not listen to her.
Yeah, well, who were you going to say?
But I remember Adam wanted to come into the studio, and he didn't make it for Heidi.
But who were you going to say was interesting?
It was really interesting with Jerry O'Donnell and then Corey Feldman. Just...
Yeah. All right.
So interesting.
You never get tired of being wrong when you interject a name, do you?
Who, me? Yeah, I know. But that's fine. Interesting because they were both in the same film and they're sort of their life path since the film? Or
because of their life path since the film.
Yeah.
And I actually really... Do you ever get, like... Sometimes I feel like you get really jaded and about just people and, like... It's so hard to be...
You're a heroin addict.
Not pass judgment.
Drew, please, let her speak.
Pass judgment?
Yeah, like, in the sense that... I wanted to judge the hell out of Corey Feldman. I wanted to just tear him apart and say how messed up he was in my mind. But there was nothing... I couldn't do it because then it would be passing judgment.
Yeah, he's a human in pain. That's the reality.
What's this example, though? I don't understand your example. Did Drew pass judgment on Corey Feldman?
She wished I did.
You understand what I'm saying.
You wished I had been tougher on him.
No, I don't. I was feeling you.
Drew, start getting tough on Ava.
Okay, Ava, what's going on tonight?
So, Mr. Fishbarb.
Yes.
Fishbarg. F-I-S-C-H-B-A-R-G is in girl.
Oh. And you must have a publicist.
A publicist? Yeah, I mean, most book companies, they give you a publicist.
Yeah. And do you have a significant other?
Like a girlfriend, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, dating a girl for about a year, but...
It was in San Francisco. A significant other is a relative term up there.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the right term to say?
Right, let's just keep going.
Whatever. But when I first met her, I didn't tell her about the book right away. So I waited like 2 months. Before she knew that I was involved with it, because I didn't want her to think I was a master pickup guy.
And then
when she found out, I had to tell her eventually, and then the date ended right there. We had to go to the bookstore and get it, and she said, "Okay, we can't date right now. I have to read this, and I'll get back to you."
She got excited that you were an author.
Yeah, well, she didn't know how to handle it that I wrote this book.
Was she angry at first?
No, she was a little shocked, But you know, she definitely had to terminate the date and read it, and then get back to me, and then she gave the book a positive review. So then we're okay.
Yeah.
So we kept going out after that, and then her whole family had to read it also to make sure I was okay.
Couldn't just meet you and see if you were okay by meeting you.
Well, they met me after. First, they had to read the book, and then they had to meet me. So, you always have to meet the family anyway. So, that's not a big
deal. I feel like in your book, you're telling people not to be themselves and to, like, kind of be a little bit of everything, which really, don't be one thing and be yourself. Just incorporate as much as you can so you'd find one person.
No, I mean, it's more about being flexible. I mean, the problem a lot of people do is they just, a lot of guys will do is that, because they're nervous, they'll just talk about themselves and just talk about, something maybe the girl's not really that interested in and dominate the conversation when really they should try to let the girl talk. And, try to find out what she's interested in and talk about that. And so, I mean, yeah, it's better not to be, a boring guy who just doesn't have a lot going on. It's girls like a guy who's has several interests and who seems like he's happening and he's strong and is able to talk about different topics. And so, I mean, you should definitely, read the newspaper and be able to talk about different topics. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Let's talk to Dana. Here's 29. Dana?
Hi.
Ava sounded a little bit spacey.
Hang on a second, Dana. Hold on 1 second. You know what? Ava was so interesting. You're so awesome. I love you. Now, you're such an asshole for blah, blah, blah. It's like she was going back and forth.
I wasn't quite sure what any of her points were, but I still took the beginning part as flattering.
Okay. Well, she seemed like a big fan, so.
But then she wanted to attack everybody.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's it was.
It was difficult. But we like Ava anyway, so.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Who's next?
This is Dana, 29.
Okay. I've been married for 7 years, and my husband was my first kiss, my first date, my first sexual experience, everything. And now I feel like I want to explore other people sexually.
Do you have any kids?
I do have 2 children.
Now, you relinquished that right.
I did?
How long were you with your husband before you got married?
Before we got married?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been friends about 3 or 4 years, but we'd only dated about a year.
But your first kiss, you didn't have a kiss until you were 20?
I mean, I had a couple in college, but, nothing to speak of really. But no, not until college. Not until about 20.
And it was him?
No, I had a date or two before him, but, you know, just in the year before him.
Adam, you are you following?
Nah, listen, I'm so done with this show.
What?
I'm just hoping I can get on to Jimmy's show full time.
You said he was your first kiss.
Okay, I lied.
Okay, all right. All right, fair enough.
But I meant anything other than a kiss.
All right.
Okay, so this is the only guy you've been with,
yes.
And now you're starting to have thoughts about what it might be like to be with other guys.
Yes. Is there something going wrong with this relationship?
No.
Hmm.
It's great.
Pure.
Really?
I need to explore.
Yeah.
It's just purely, I mean, because normally when this kind of, these feelings come up, it's sort of like, well, partially I want to explore other guys, but partially I'm not so happy with the guy I'm with.
Right.
See, that I just, that's what I can't get around. I love the guy I'm with.
Hmm.
And you have no qualms with him at all. Sexually, he's good?
Yes.
I mean, how would you know? But yeah.
That's my point. How would I know? I don't
know. Listen,
what if you find out it's not good? What are you going to do about that? You have two kids.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, then.
Well, look, is he giving you an orgasm?
Yes.
He is.
Lots.
Lots. All right. Does he do oral sex on you?
Yes.
Lots.
Yes.
Throwing off the curve.
Mm.
Okay, you're not going to do any better than this guy then.
I'm not.
No.
But
he's giving you lots of orgasms.
I'm
What's
not
that?
Looking for better. Just
different.
Different.
For different. Yeah.
Get a vibrator.
Well, Danny, here's why we're discouraging you, is it's going to destabilize your marriage, and it's going to affect the lives of more than just your husband and more than just you. You've got two other lives there that you were actually directly responsible for. And once you have those kids, you give up your right to go explore and do crazy things that could adversely impact everyone else.
Okay.
And that's
so
that.
You're
mama now. If you want to explore when the kids are 18 and out of the house, all right.
So do you feel like that people have seeds to sow and I lost my chance to sow mine?
Yeah, yes, I do.
You
I do.
Well,
I think it's unfortunate, but you made a choice.
Put her on hold. Let me talk for a second.
All right, go ahead.
You make decisions. I mean, if you come out of high school and you want to join the workforce, fine. But you miss out on the college experience. But that's the decision you make.
Yeah.
You can't experience everything in life. You decide what's best for you. You find a guy you're in love with. You marry the guy. You have a couple of kids. This is the path you've chosen to take. It's not a bad path. It's the one you've chosen, but you have to sort of stand by it.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anyone in the world who doesn't feel like they've missed out on something that they could have done or should have done? I mean, even though they had a great life as they led it.
Nobody.
Right. Everyone thinks, you know, they could have done something different, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Hugh Hefner.
Right.
And
Sting.
And Sting. These are the only two guys that don't have any regrets.
And
everybody
Bono.
Else.
I think Bono.
Almost all lead singers to big-time bands. Yeah. But all the rest of us feel like, well, we could have done this or we could have done that.
Yeah. Jared is 21. Jared?
Yeah, hi. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good to hear. First off, Drew, Adam, I love the guys' show, both Man Show and Loveline. You guys do a hell of a good job.
Thanks.
Were you kind of briefed on why I was calling in?
You want some advice from Gabe?
Yeah, well, Gabe and also Adam and Drew, if you guys could put your input
right.
in. For the past 2 years, almost roughly, I've been using the internet as a dating means.
Mm-hmm.
Dating or just kind of getting to know people?
A little bit just to get out there and get to know people, because beforehand I was in a serious relationship for 2.5 years.
Are you using dating services? Are you meeting in chat rooms? What are you doing?
Like an actual online dating forum.
Dating?
You email, they email you, and... goes from there.
Is that a dating service though, where they match you up, or is it just
matching,
a all right, okay.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I've had numerous horror stories come out of the internet, and you know, where most people would turn away and walk out, I've probably continued to use it.
Have you had horror stories yourself?
Yes.
What, like what?
Well, you know, lying. I've had things get really nasty. Like when I've shown up, I've had like 4 people show up, and then I've wanted to leave due to uncomfortable situations. People not saying what they were. I've had like late night phone callers after you get to know someone, and it's just to the point where it's like, you know, borderline stalking.
Yeah.
Why would
4
people show up on a date? What does that mean?
I don't know. When I talk with my folks about it, they say that it would be more like girls want safety in numbers or something like that, even though you're meeting in a public place, I suppose.
Oh, she showed up with her girlfriends.
Yeah, her friends are like, her girlfriend and her two guy friends will show up, and it's let's go out and just, you know, all hang out.
Well, but listen, these are all the risks you run when you don't have the courage to look someone in the eye.
No, wait, the internet, listen, you're just because you're Pops, an old guy, doesn't mean
back in my day, we'd pick up our rotary phone and make ourselves a date.
Young people.
Listen to some Doobie Brothers on 8-track and pop some Jiffy Pop over my dad's heavily paneled den. Yeah, those are the days. Watch a little Love Boat. 22 Skidoo.
But so what percent of people don't look like their photograph or their picture?
Honestly, I'd say about
100%.
75.
Yeah.
To be legitimately true. The other 25 are people who, when they go on the internet, like I knew fully wholeheartedly going onto the internet not to have high expectations because you can write whatever you want, say whatever you want, and the truth comes out in person.
Right. Sure. What percent are on the internet dating are guys to girls?
I'd say it's probably 3-1.
3-1 guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, but these guys can use, this is a more efficient way to manage the marketplace. At least it gets to that initial contact phase, even though it has all these barriers and shortcomings that Jared is referring to.
All right, well, what's Jared's question now?
Okay. Well, using the internet, I've recently, you know, actually met a girl that I, you know, I'm really interested in. And I've known her for about 30 days now. We've been like the friends phase, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to read her or entice, I don't want to say entice, but, you know, get her attention more than a friendship level.
Well, so have you had a flesh meeting yet?
Oh, yeah. We've actually hung out the past couple weekends each time at her friend's house, you know, and I'm comfortable with that.
What do you call it? They call it flesh something? Flesh?
Oh, I thought you were talking about sex.
No, in the flesh. What do you guys call it? Flesh? Isn't it flesh meetings?
Face-to-face?
Face-to-face, I would guess would be best, yeah.
Okay. And you have, but it's you've not kissed or been intimate.
No, it's been nothing like that. And she's very, very much an introvert. And when I get to know someone, I'm very extroverted. I'm always one making jokes, having a good time. And I want to bring that out of them. And it's like, at times I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall with her.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, because it's very obvious that I want to be more than friends.
Yeah,
I mean,
weren't your emails dating related?
We only emailed each other twice, and then we found a common ground to start really talking about things with, and we built it off of that.
I'm guessing that was Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Man. Well, a lot of times, guys, people will be on a date, and they won't even realize it.
Yeah.
Is it possible she thinks she's on a date with you, and you don't realize it?
Right.
Isn't that possible?
It seems more like we've gone out as friends, first and foremost.
All right. Well, listen, Jared, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to call her up. You need to speak to her. You need to plan a date for this weekend or next weekend. And you need to proceed as if it's a date.
That's
if
it.
If she says, I'll meet you at the theater, you say, I'll pick you up at your house.
Right.
And when you go to dinner and she reaches for her pocketbook, you say, no, I'm paying for this. And you proceed like it's a date. When you're watching the movie, hold her hand. At the end of the date, you try to lay a smooch on her. That's what it is. You've got to steer it that direction.
Yep. I don't know if he needs to hold a hand in the movie theater. He can wait. She'll like him more if he plays it cool.
Yeah, but he's been playing it cool, and he's not. I don't know if she likes.
Well, yeah, he's got to make a move afterward, definitely. And you don't make it a daytime date. It's got to be a nighttime date.
It's got to be night.
And try to do it Friday or Saturday.
Unless there's an eclipse. That's the only time you can do it an afternoon date.
Don't go for the boring afternoon date.
Let's take a break.
Yeah. And just do it, because here's the thing. Every date you get under your belt that you don't end with a kiss gets you further away from the one that has the kiss on it.
Yeah.
It becomes weird, right?
Yeah.
It becomes harder to get up the mountain.
Down that path, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew, our guest in studio tonight. And I'm not there. I'm over at JKL, Jimmy Kimmel Live. Gabe Fishbarg is our guest tonight. He is the author of The Guide to Picking Up Girls.
And,
Drew?
Next week, we've got Trista Wren, The Bachelorette, coming in on Monday.
Oh, good.
Unless you're listening on tape delay, it'll be Tuesday. We got The Vandals coming back and Bill Bellamy from Fast Times.
Well, like all
those
people.
It's a big week. Yeah, big week. Trista Wren, that'll be interesting. And The Vandals, I actually went to Disneyland on the Vandals ticket last
time. Oh, that's right. Last time they were in, the lead singer of the Vandals has like a special lifetime pass.
Yeah, at Club 33 at Disneyland. It was the greatest thing we ever did.
got Drew in. More therapy for the kids. All right, let's move ahead here, Drew.
All right. Hang on a second. This now is Jennifer's 20. Jennifer.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
What's happening, Jen?
Hmm?
What's happening, Jen?
Yeah. Not much. I'm just having a bunch of problems with boys, and since you're here, I'd like to talk to you about that.
All right.
So I go out clubbing about 5 nights a week, and these guys are always here. The first time... I saw this guy, and he's just all hot, and he's the best dancer. So I go up to him, and I say, oh, you're great, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't expect him to come down and dance with me, but he did. And, like, eventually all his friends, like, came down, and we're all dancing with each other. And then my best friend, who's a guy, shows up, and, like, I gave him a hug, and this guy that I was talking to, he got jealous, I think. But he was going around dancing with other girls. And then the night, I was like...
Whoa. You think the fact that he danced with other girls was an expression of his jealousy?
No. I'm getting through the story. Right. It gets worse and worse and more complicated. But anyway, so at the end of the night, I was like, oh, he probably thinks my best friend is my boyfriend. So I go up to him and ask for his number. He's all, no, I'll just see you next week.
Yeah, whatever.
What?
Yeah, all right. So he wasn't interested.
Well, that's what I thought. And then the next week, like, he saw me and I was like, yeah, he's not interested. But anyway, he came up, like, he dances with me every time. And, like, I don't know. It just, and then... Like, I started getting involved with his friend. Like, I kissed him, but...
All right. Well, this is not Tiger Beat magazine, for Christ's sake.
Oh, come on.
Now, hold on a second.
Yeah.
As far as the first guy goes, if you ask for his number and he said, I'll see you next week, that either means he has a girlfriend or he was less than interested in you.
It means he's queuing them up. You know what I mean? This is the kind of guy that kind of has a pecking order, and you're getting in line. You're number five. If that night the first four of these lining up don't work out, he keeps you in the bullpen.
Well, he's a super player. It's called. He's a
right.
He's
super
working
mega
it.
Player.
He's creating a list. He's
checking it twice.
There's no drama here. You just lining it up. You know, he's got it very organized, and you fit on that line somewhere. And
yeah, he's working the list. It's called.
Right, but I think it's safe to say that he's not all that interested
Jennifer. She wasn't high up the list.
She's probably like number five, six.
Yeah, I was thinking five, six. Yeah.
Right. A lot of guys, they'll number a list.
Girl to come back. I don't know. It really confuses me. And then when I kissed his friend, I mean, he saw it. And he was, like, after his friend left, he, like, came over with me and giving me all this attention.
All right. Who cares? You go to a club five nights a week.
Do not think like a female human when you're trying to figure out male human behavior. It is an entirely different system. And in your mind, you would be jealous if a guy you were kind of interested in suddenly got interested in one of your friends. Guys don't do that.
They move on. Yeah. You know, they learn how to move on, and they'll move on faster than you'll move on.
Okay, so stop going to the same crappy club and trying to scam with the same crappy guys.
Right. Okay, it's Erica 21. Erica?
Hi.
Hey.
So what my problem is, my boyfriend's been acting really weird ever, like, a week before my 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he last week on Thursday, he takes off and decides to drive down to Carmel and back. And I've been living with him for 2 years, and this has, like, never happened before. And he says that he's depressed, but he doesn't know why. But
is he doing drugs?
Huh?
Is he doing any drugs or alcohol?
I know he drinks.
Okay.
It runs in his family and his mom's side of drinking.
All right.
So that's, you know, I'm like, okay, obviously.
What's the whole part about going to Carmel and back? He just drove out for the day, you mean, to Carmel?
No, he took off around 10:30 at night and just drove down there, which is really odd for him to do, considering he's really cheap about his gas.
Oh, and he slept out there, or what?
I'm sorry, what?
Did he sleep in Carmel?
No, he went to siphon gas from other people.
No, he just drove down and drove back, he said. By the time I looked up and realized where I was down in Carmel. I'm like, okay. So he says he's depressed. And he doesn't know what's wrong. I asked him if it was me, and he said it wasn't me. And I said, okay. And I asked him if it was our roommate, who's his best friend for like 16 years. He says, no, it's not him. So maybe
he's just depressed.
Maybe he's depressed, right?
The thing is that, like, Sunday he came down, I guess, with one of the flu bug or whatever's been going around, and I took care of him the 3 days, and Tuesday night he started drinking. And
I was gonna say I smell addiction here. I just smell it.
Yeah.
Some of this flu stuff is probably detoxing from something. He's probably using something more than you know. That'd be my guess here.
Chipmunk farts and you smell it.
Yeah, but am I ever wrong?
Well,
if that chipmunk's been doing Vicodin, and I know it, goddammit.
All right, Drew. So. All right, but look, first off, why do you want to be with a guy who's really worried about gas? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, he works at, well, he's a bagger, so he doesn't make much money anyways.
But really, you where do you live?
Well, I moved down to Santa Cruz, and that's where we're at.
He could make it to Carmel for $6.
He has like an older Chevy truck, so I mean.
All right. Well, I would go ahead and work the addiction angle.
Yeah, and whatever it is, he sounds like he needs some help. If he's depressed, that should be treated. If he's addicted, that should be treated. And if you find out that really there's some heavy-duty addiction going on here, you either need to end this relationship if that's what you want to do, or get yourself in a codependency program. But I just sense there's an addictive process here.
All right. Well, Drew knows. Yeah. He's like Toucan Sam, except for coke and speed.
Oh, yeah, and heroin.
All right, Drew, wrap it up for me, would you, buddy?
I need to talk to you, though. I'm calling you.
Gabe?
All right.
Yeah.
You'll talk to him later, right?
We'll catch you on the flip side.
I'm going to call you too.
All right,
we'll be back after that.
It is the Guide to Picking Up Girls, Gabe Fishbarg, and we'll be back in just a second. Gabe Fishbarg, the Guide to Picking Up Girls. Thanks, Gabe, for being in here tonight.
Thanks for having
a lot of fun. The website again is
www.pickingupgirls.com, and the book is available wherever books are sold.
Wish you all the success, and thank you, Amazon.com, I guess, and thank you for joining us for our Valentine's show.
Yes.
Enlightening us on the nuances of this thing that preoccupies so many men.
Yes.
Next week, Trista Wren, the Bachelorette's in here, the Vandals, Bill Bellamy, really another big star-studded week. And until then, we will see you. This is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Jennifer, I want to put you. Can you mind being on hold? Or I want Adam to bring in on this one too. Would you mind?
No, it's okay.
No, would you hang on?
No, it's okay.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.